Welcome back to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Scott.
We're back here again for Minute 12 with our guest, Scott Corelli. Welcome back, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem.
It's good to have you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we're diving back into this. We got so caught up on the last episode, we completely forgot to talk about the fact that Jack is stuck in an elevator shaft right now. So we're going to talk about this minute, and it starts with Jack in an elevator shaft looking at a box with a green light and ends with a POV shot of Sarah Davies asking the camera a question, another POV shot. And what we didn't talk about in our last episode was that Jack had climbed into what looks like the elevator shaft, and I couldn't see an elevator, so I assume the elevator is above him. His camera is viewing a box with a green LED light on it.
Could he be on the elevator, maybe?
That's what I couldn't tell definitively in the last shot, if he was standing on top of the elevator or if the elevator was above him. So I'm going to assume right now the elevator's above him.
This whole sequence just makes me remember the video game, the Nintendo 64 Mission Impossible video game. Because this was the first level in that. And like this whole elevator and the party and yeah. I'm just getting flashbacks to that video game that I played
We have not talked about the video game yet because I didn't play the video game.
Oh.
I didn't even know there was a video game. Wow.
Yeah, we have a guest coming in a couple weeks that is going to talk about it too, but please feel free.
Yeah, no, I just remember this. I remember this level because I didn't get much further than this level. Because it was a hard game at the time. I mean, I wasn't particularly good at video games. Me and my friends played GoldenEye a lot, but we got this and played this. I don't remember if there was a split screen kind of thing like GoldenEye did. Or if it just ripped off the main gameplay, but it was a first person thing, and you know you were moving through this party, and you needed to not get caught, but also like get in the elevator and everything, and yeah. So it just reminds me of the video game big time.
Was it a fun game?
Yeah, I remember really loving it. I just remember it being like you know kind of difficult, but I really loved it. I played it all the time.
Maybe there's an age difference between Chris and I. Maybe Chris and I are just too old to. I didn't play video games in college when this came out. Chris and I were in college when this came out.
Oh,
yeah. I don't remember. I didn't have an N64 at that time though. I didn't have one until later in the 90s. I think
I didn't have a video game box till Wii. So, but yeah, we also once this scene starts with Jack looking at the box, and our next scene is of Jim, and we get one of those gratuitous watch shots from movies where they show a designer watch. Mm-hmm. He's wearing, I say Omega, but everyone on the James Bond podcast call it Amiga.
Yeah.
So sounds fancier. He's wearing a nice Omega watch. I couldn't figure out what style it was, though. I'm sure it's just been too long and it wasn't important enough to know that that's the Jim Phelps Omega watch.
I thought it looks like it says Bulgari on it, though.
No, it says Omega. It has an Omega symbol at the top.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. A couple things I had to say about this scene. So I love the shot of the monitor of him looking at all of the video feeds because it is okay. So you know how, I mean, obviously you guys did because you went to film school, but you had, you know, diegetic sound and non-diegetic sound, right? And this is sort of like diegetic split screen,
yeah,
which De Palma is known for. And so this just reminds me of like, you know, the third act of Carrie.
Yeah.
Only it's the split screen is diegetic because it's part of the story that. Yeah,
so it's like split screens within split screens within split screens. It's like inception of split screens. You know, it's kind of crazy because it's part of the plot. It's not the actual screen, but it's the screen that we're watching somebody else watch. So it's like overwhelming split screens. So, you know, it's like Brian De Palma field day.
Chris, if you notice, poor Claire doesn't have a video on there.
Because she's sitting in a car somewhere.
Yeah, we've made fun because Claire literally sits in the car and she's supposed to drive. She's transportation for this mission. And we're like, that's a really terrible job compared to everybody else.
Mm-hmm. But you should worry that she doesn't have a screen because then it's like, okay, why doesn't she have a screen? Even if she's sitting in the car, she should have a screen.
Another thing that's weird, and we've talked about this before with camera angles and the fact that sometimes spy cameras move in the way that cinematic cameras move. Mm-hmm. If you look at Jack's POV, it's zooming in. How can Jack be zooming in? He has no control over his own view, and Jim's hand is, we know, on his watch.
Could he be on the elevator as the elevator is rising and he's getting closer to the box?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I never thought about it that way.
I literally just thought about it as I'm frame by frame going through it.
It's a diegetic zoom, too.
Yeah, it is. It's super weird. Scott, in one of the scenes earlier, in minute one, one of the cameras pans and then zooms and then also moves position, like mm-hmm. a stationary spy camera.
Oh, man.
Keeps moving. And we're like, what's happening with this cool spy camera? How is it able to move around the way it is? It's getting coverage is what it's doing.
I'm really impressed by Ethan's camera and how he's walking up steps, but it's super smooth, almost as if he's holding a Steadicam. That's exactly. Weird, right?
I'm thinking his glasses are Steadicam certified.
Yes, so. Steadicam glasses. What's that weird thing on your face?
When I go to another country, I'm pretty sure I have to look at every step that I'm walking up because not all European countries have the same width, of height of steps, because sometimes they have different, you know, they were built thousands of years ago or 500 years ago. You have to look at the steps. He's looking that man directly in the eye the whole way up.
Yep.
It's amazing.
It's another one of those quintessential sort of Brian De Palma shots where we're like, point of view, we're going straight through the shot. And I'm sure at some point in this shot, he's going to pull the Steadicam around it, Tom Cruise, and it's going to go from a POV to a two shot at some point. I'm sure it does that. I don't remember if it does or not, but I'm sure it does.
And at first, I was going to have a whole talk about this is the only time they ever use POV in Mission Impossible. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, wait, no. They do POV all the time.
And
it's always Tom Cruise and his point of view.
Yeah.
It's usually not anybody else. But anytime he gets knocked out, like I started thinking about it. I'm like, oh, in Mission Impossible 3, at the beginning of the movie, the cold opening is a POV shot.
Yep. Mm.
He's looking at Philip Seymour Hoffman. In Rogue Nation, when he gets zapped and when he's in the car upside down, those are all POV shots.
Yep. Mm.
And I was like, oh my God, this movie is lousy with POV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The entire series. And this is the first. Hopefully it's going to pay off.
Other thing I noticed, which is, dipping into, breaking the fourth wall of that you guys have never seen this movie before.
Well, we break that wall way too much. Yes,
we do. Jim Phelps here. I find Angelina Jolie Sr., his performance. it's interesting watching him because he's talking in everyone's ears. There's no reason for him to be talking so quiet and kind of NPR-ish the way that he is. There's really no reason for him to be doing that. I'm just realizing that, you know, he's checking his watch. He's being sort of somber. It just occurs to me like, oh, right, because he knows what's about to happen. You know, even though he is in their ears, he's like speaking very quiet and somberly. And I think that's kind of supposed to be, you know, that sort of thing where when you watch the movie again, you're like, oh, that's why he's acting like that. Interesting. Because right now he's like talking like he's in a library and there's no reason for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that gives anybody that, you know, is on the team listening to him any sort of like concern, like why is he all of a sudden talking so quietly to us? I don't get it. He never does this on any other missions we're on with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've coined the term Jim-splaining. When they were in Prague in the safe house, he Jim-splained to the women so many times it was painful.
Yeah, it was, especially about driving around the block. How to do that? You know, it was like, wow, that's unnecessary.
Oh, man.
In this scene also, we see Tom Cruise walks up. We don't know it's Tom Cruise. Excuse me. We see
the senator
walk up the steps and be greeted by an attaché. And then he is walked into a receiving line and he meets and glad hands a few people. They didn't use the actual name of the mayor of Prague, which I thought was fun. At that time, that mayor, they call him Brandl. He's the mayor of Prague and that's not who it is. Fun fact of this episode is the mayor of Prague in 1996 was named Jan Kugel, and he studied theoretical physics.
Oh, wow.
At the Charles University in Prague before he became mayor. That's my fun fact. It has nothing to do with anything. I just think it's weird that they didn't use his real name. We always got like Mayor Dinkins and other mayors back in American films, you know, in the 80s. We always got like who was the mayor of New York.
Ed Koch is always the real mayor. It's always Ed Koch showing up as the mayor.
Yep.
Even in Batman, they had a Ed Koch lookalike for the mayor.
And then we get Kristin Scott Thomas walking down to us, to the POV, and saying, you probably don't remember who I am.
Hey, you skipped over Tony Beretta climbing the walls, Die Hard style, in that elevator shaft.
No, I didn't skip over it. That's the most important part, so we're going back to it. We're going to end on that.
We're going
to
end on that.
That's the best part.
Okay.
Yeah, in this scene, Tony Beretta, everyone's favorite star of the movie, Emilio Estevez, shimmies up the side of an elevator shaft, places a, you guys help me here, a wafer with a wire sticking out of it.
It kind of looks like the gum, but it isn't.
Yeah, it's literally like it's a square. It's very low tech looking, but I assume this is how he's going to hack into the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just looks like a box of some sort. I don't even understand what that is.
and while Jim's splaining, he says Windows open at 2300 hours. I don't know what that means either.
I'm surprised he didn't explain what 2300 hours is.
So yeah, I don't know what Windows open by 2300 hours.
Maybe that's the window of opportunity to get to the knock list or to get to Gallitzin.
Okay, well, they're waiting on him at the party, so I don't know how they know when the window opens or when the window... It's too vague right now. I don't really... I'm sure in like 5-10 minutes, we'll have the entire plan. It'll all have worked great, and then we'll be debriefing, and we'll understand exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're correct.
Well, this is a very sparse minute. We can definitely do a tech of the ep on this. Let's see what... let's go around the horn, see what everybody's got. Tech of the ep, Chris, what do you got?
Either the little hacking box that Tony Beretta puts on the, what looks like a router box, I'm assuming, or the Steadicam glasses, one of the two.
Ooh, Steadicam glasses.
Steadicam glasses is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta give it up to, Jim's split screen setup he's got. I mean, that's a lot of video to be running on a 1996 computer. It was impressive when it was just the one, but now he's got live feeds going on.
He has four live feeds that are wirelessly being transferred.
On 250 megs of power, probably, too.
Four he's got four live feeds. He's got them each repeated as a big window and a small window. And then he's also recording all of them.
Yeah, that's got to be a powerful computer for the day, because, I mean,
oh, good Lord. Amazing. I'm surprised it doesn't take up the whole room. Maybe it does.
That's just the monitor. Yeah, that's just the monitor. Yeah. Of it.
Right.
It's that whole hotel in Prague.
That was my tech of the app also. It's the monitor. It's the MacBook. The fact that, well, the MacBook is connected to a supercomputer in the other room. Well, yeah, on that note, we'll wrap up another episode. Scott, thanks again for coming in. We will see you hopefully tomorrow.
Yes.
And I'm excited to hear what you have coming up.
Is this plugs? Sorry.
Yeah, you can plug. It's okay. Plug away. That was not the smoothest transition into plugs. I said coming up. Like, you're like, have like, you going to dinner? Like, after this? What's going on?
I was a little thrown off.
Sorry.
Yeah, I've got the Cornetto Minute. We just wrapped up talking about Spaced, which is a British television series from Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and Jessica Hines, Nate Stevenson. We are transitioning now into an actual minute-by-minute breakdown of Shaun of the Dead. That's what I've got going on right now. That's the minute-by-minute podcast I'm doing currently. So if you like Shaun of the Dead, please go check that out. It's at duelinggenre.com and on all the podcast apps and whatnot.
Great. Well, you can get us on Twitter at MinImpossible. You can also email us, minuteimpossible@gmail.com. come over to our Facebook group, The Impossible Minute Force, and talk to us there. We'll be posting daily on things having to do with Mission Impossible, probably sometimes not having to do with Mission Impossible. So come on over there and see us anytime. We'll see you tomorrow for Minute 13 of Mission Impossible. I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
And I've been Scott.
This podcast will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
There you go. Now you did it.